Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at MTSU here at the football facility at Floyd Stadium. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I would love to hear people's thoughts on this question.
Okay.
And that is, you know, I heard Jake and Corey, they were talking college football and everything going on at Alabama right now. And obviously, Kalen DeBoer probably does not need to go in any public establishments in Tuscaloosa at this point.
Right.
But it got me thinking. You look at the program there at Alabama, and I know DeBoer never was on the staff, never coached with Saban, but then you look at other programs with coaches that have been coaches under Nick Saban, and I got to thinking about the standard. You know, there's always this discussion about the standard that Nick Saban has and what he expects of his coaches and all of that stuff. Why doesn't the standard seem to work anywhere else?
Great question.
It only seems to work for Nick Saban. I'm not just talking about winning. I understand Kirby Smart has two national championships at Georgia, but how many of his players are we talking about having off-the-field stuff? And I'm not saying Nick Saban didn't have that.
Right.
But it didn't seem like it was a lot. So that standard that Saban had at LSU or Michigan State before that, or Alabama, why doesn't it seem to translate other places?
It's a great question. You know, Zig Ziglar wrote some great books about emulating success and leaders and all those things that go on. It's great to put it in writing, but to execute that is something else. For example, when Alabama won the national championship over Texas in 2009 season, it was at the Rose Bowl, they got done at 2:30 in the morning when I was 2:45 from a coach that was there. They had a staff meeting, I think it was at 8 o'clock, 5-6 hours after they'd cleaned up. And it was like, why? He's like, Saban, we're weeks behind on recruiting. We need to start now. They just won the national championship. That goes into what you're saying about how he approached things and why he did things. So why does that not work for Butch Jones at Arkansas State or Kiffin at Ole Miss?
Yeah,
I mean, it's working a little bit for Sarkisian at Texas, but you're at Texas, right? That's the million-dollar question, is to emulate the success. Well, if I make guys accountable and have them here at 7 o'clock in the morning and I run practice the same way, it's not. That's a great question. Why don't people with Belichick or the Patriots the same way? There's success right in front of you. I can copy your game plan, your practice plan. I can see how you do personnel things. But that's a billion-dollar question. If we could do that in all aspects of life, we'd all be massively successful. But we can't.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Robert says it's the person. And maybe that's it. But, I mean, is Nick Saban, and I guess the stats speak for themselves, but is he really the only one capable of running that kind of program, or program, as he likes to say?
Well, Urban Meyer won two national titles at Florida in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Two titles in 6 years. Two national titles in 6 years.
Yeah, but, again, it's more than just – that he also had some bad people on his teams. I mean, and I know that
no team
Saban,
has got Saban
is not perfect,
right.
but I mean, you didn't hear a lot of that stuff with Alabama, is what I'm saying.
There's just
this different. It's the standard. That's what they always call it. Like, and I know Mike Tomlin likes to say the standard is the standard, but I just feel like there was always something different with Saban. He left Alabama in a great spot, and DeBoer comes in, who didn't forget how to coach overnight. Like, he's a good coach, but for whatever reason, it hasn't translated yet.
He's already lost to 4 unranked teams.
I think he's 5-5 in his last 10 games. Like, I think that's his record, right, in his last 10.
Well, you know, and Rex knows more about this than any of us do, but, like, in Michigan State, when – there's a rumor that when Saban left Michigan State, the LSU job, he sent a plane – and, Joe, if you're listening, please weigh in on this. He sent a plane back to Lansing and said, hop on the plane, whatever coach wants to come. And I think only one coach, Bobby Robinson, and Joe, again, correct me if I'm wrong, came back. Only the coaches couldn't wait to get away from him. could not wait to – nobody wanted to go with him. So he goes to LSU and he gets a staff of Jimbo, Derek Dooley, Will Muschamp, Kirby Smart. Was Kirby at LSU? I'm not sure if he was. But those guys with him, he built
some – what was his first year?
2000. And they beat Tennessee in a great game at Baton Rouge that year, which was unbelievable. Might have been an overtime game in 2000. But look at his assistant coaches. The ability for Nick Saban to hire the right people is fantastic.
Offensive coordinator, quarterbacks, Jimbo Fisher. Running back, special teams, Michael Haywood. Offensive line, Rick Trickett.
Yes.
Wide receiver, Stan Hickson. Tight ends, Derek Dooley. Defensive coordinator, Phil Elmasian. Imagine.
I called him Phil Grand.
Okay. Linebacker, Sal Sinceri. Defensive line, Pete Jenkins. Mel Tucker with defensive backs. Freddie Kitchens was a GA. Adam Gase was a GA.
Those are some really, really good coaches. And he got, I think Muschamp came in maybe 01. I thought Muschamp was on that staff. So you built
2001.
Up. Yeah, so he was on that 2001 staff.
He was the linebackers coach on that staff. George Yarno took over offensive line. Muschamp took over linebackers. Charlie Harbison was DBs. Scott Cochran was a GA. Jay Rogers was a GA.
His ability to hire the right people is probably unmatched. It's all over. I mean, Crystal Ball was one of his offensive line coaches at Miami. I mean, at Alabama. But seeing that, what he did, he just gets guys to believe in him. The fact that no Michigan State coaches wanted to go with him, and it's demanding. I mean, are you willing to put in the work? He talks about it all the time. Are you willing to sacrifice for success? Most people aren't.
Right. And that, I think that's part of it. Mike in Lebanon says, when people believe in you, they give their best.
100%. 100%.
9355, I think it's the consistency of having an elite level of discipline from top to bottom, day to day. When you allow your standard to lower, you create a new standard.
Yep.
2636, or Viking Matt, it's the person and how they relate to the player. Look at John McKay. Pete Carroll has the same factor.
Tyler Lockett, we had on the show from camp, loves Pete Carroll for what he did for him off the field, like the way he cared about him.
Yeah, 100%. Wes and Hermitage, why in the hell is Alabama ranked above UT currently? It makes zero sense to me. I know it's week two, but come on now, and I'm not a big UT fan. Also, I know Vanderbilt is not in the top 25, but I can't seem to figure out what their current ranking is. Do either of y'all know? They didn't get votes for the top 25.
That's fine.
So I'm not.
Think Clark Lee cares?
No.
I love Clark Lee. The fact he's like, we don't care that we're in the top 20. We don't care. Talk about it. We're going to win games. Love it. He was on with DVD the other day and loved listening to him about their approach to this game and what, people still don't believe in him. He said, that's fine. We're going to go out and win games and prove you wrong. We have the opportunity to do that.
I think kind of going along this topic, there are certain people in college football that are giddy over Alabama having the misfortunes that they have had.
Right. It's a great question.
Is that the same kind of thing as when the Patriots would have misfortune? Mm-mm. Or is it something different?
Yeah. So the question is, why are people so happy that Alabama is in misery right now? I think with the NFL, it's different kind of thing. With college, it's deeper. It's in your roots. So, we asked a question now, and he could let us know, why are people so happy when Alabama football is in misery?
Amen to that. We will discuss that much more coming up next, 615-737-1025. Live at MTSU today. Our college football game of the week is Michigan taking on Oklahoma this Saturday at 6:30. It's on Sports Talk 8:30, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurant and Circus Sportsbook in Kentucky. You can also listen on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game. There you go. Dr. Crane's feeling it today. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game, here on this Wednesday. Before we continue, I have to ask this very important question. How was Nani's birthday?
Yes.
It was great. She, you know, when I got home, I thought she'd be feeling a little yucky. She felt phenomenal yesterday. So,
she knew her Nikki was coming to see her.
Indeed. So, yeah, had a little bit of a my mom's been making this espresso cheesecake, and the longer it sits, the more flavor that's in it. So, she made it on Sunday. So, we were yesterday digging into that for her birthday, and today's my brother's birthday. So, happy birthday to my older brother, Tony. So,
happy birthday, Tony.
We're backing this up. An espresso cheesecake?
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
I mean, that just sounds wonderful.
It's light, airy. It's almost like a mousse in a roundabout way. But it's unbelievable.
Ooh, okay, all right.
I'll see if I can bring a small espresso cheesecake to work one day.
Well, yeah, what would it take to us to order from Mama Frazier a espresso cheesecake? God, that sounds so good.
I'm sure there's be a decent price tag. A small one, that is. I mean, you know, she'd probably just make it for fun.
Because I'm telling you, espresso martinis, one time I had like 16 of those in Key West, and it was the best. So I can only imagine the cheesecake being better than that.
Yeah, you probably started spelling martini backwards, didn't you?
It was a fun evening, let's put it that way. Hey-o! But good job. All right, so our question is, why are people so giddy when Alabama football is in misery? A friend of mine sent me a note earlier. He's like, because I hate people who love Alabama. I was like, okay, sure, whatever. But
it says, let's see, 6727, got sick of hearing Roll Tide. Now they should be called Flat Tide.
Oh, got him.
Andrew says, wait long enough and it'll be blue cheesecake. Talking about the cake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think it's just people are tired of it. I mean, when you have a program that wins at such a clip, that's people get it just like, unless you're a fan of that team, then you love it. I've never experienced that. I mean, I was too young when the Cowboys won. But, I mean, I remember 95, but, like, the first two I don't really remember.
Yeah, and that's
the thing. I just remember liking the Cowboys.
I mean, if I'm a fan of a team, I there's a video, I don't know if you saw tonight, when LSU beat Clemson, an LSU fan went overboard and was flipping the bird at a Clemson fan.
Yeah.
And that Clemson fan just
choked him out.
Yeah, choked him out. I'm not to that level, but, I mean, if your team wins, so that's fine. But know that when your team loses, like, I've got some dear friends who are Alabama fans, and they're all into their feelings now. I'm like, it happens. Welcome back to the world. It happens.
Yeah.
And you've got to take the good with the bad. But a lot of people – and I don't think there's another college football team that when they're miserable, fans love it. Now, there's a lot of people who don't like Tennessee football. Sure. When Tennessee's bad, they like that. But I think Alabama's at the top, and I think Tennessee's up there. Not up the top, but they're up there. That when they're bad, they like to make fun of their fan base. That's what happens.
So I have kind of looked at Twitter – I'm going to be honest, I've been staying off Twitter for my mental health. Which I should, but because it's a cesspool. But has Vol's Twitter been overly excited about Bama's loss, or have they been more focused on Nico and the win on Saturday?
Do you like ask rhetorical questions?
Yeah.
They're very happy, Alabama. Yeah, okay. They're very happy.
Good.
That Alabama's losing. Auburn fans are next level, and you should be.
Yeah.
I mean, for Auburn, that football, that was the perfect weekend. You smashed Baylor, who people thought you were going to lose to, and then Alabama loses to your former coach in Gus Malzahn, which is just great. So, yeah, people when Alabama are bad, they love it.
Didn't Tuberville have some sort of, now that he's a senator, didn't he have some sort of snipe
Trump
yesterday?
Trump said something yesterday about moving the NASA command center to Huntsville, and we won't talk about the football coach. And, yeah, he said something like Alabama. I mean, good.
And Tuberville was like, Auburn won.
Yeah. And that's funny. We all like that. It's football.
Yeah.
But Alabama fans, I mean, just reading some of the stuff down in Alabama right now is just, I mean, they're beyond themselves because they don't understand this.
Jay from Laverne says, nothing good lasts forever.
That's from a good movie, too, man. Nothing good lasts forever.
What is that from?
Yeah, right? Nothing lasts forever. Oh, man, what is that?
help us out. 615-737-1025. That is from something.
Somebody sent me a you never saw the movie Taps, right? If you never saw the movie Taps with Tom Cruise, Timothy Hutton, Sean Penn, it is a fantastic movie. At the end scene, Cruise loses his mind, and he's shooting troops, and he's in this thing, and then they run in to stop him. He says, "It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful." And somebody said, "That's what about how it feels about Alabama football losing. Like, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing." I don't get that deep into it, but others do. And if you do, that's fine. And you celebrate that Alabama is losing.
Brian says, "I think we all know a Bama fan and the arrogance they've had for years. They can be some of the most annoying people. To now see them in misery is great. Maybe now the Vols will follow and hit rock bottom. Then it will be a perfect world." Brian, I'm curious what team you're a fan of.
Right, yeah.
You a Vandy fan or are you LSU? Like, I'm curious.
I don't know any Vandy fans that talk a lot of junk.
Well, we don't really have a lot of room, so we don't.
I mean, even after the Alabama
last year,
game.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of strutting last year, and rightfully so.
It should be. Especially after the Alabama game. But it wasn't, like, overall, like, all of them to a man or woman, or like just bombarding people, kind of like, we'll do it. But I mean, I would. You beat Alabama, number one team in the country, you would take forever to shut me up.
That's a really good. Yeah, they just don't. I think they just take the wins as they come, and they're excited about them, and they should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian says anchor down. There you go. I like
there you go, Brian.
Robert says, I don't know if we should make it, I shouldn't joke on this, but crisis hotline is working overtime for Bama fans right now.
I'm telling you, they are. I mean, you listen to the Feinbaum show and they call in, and
Feinbaum,
they love it.
After that loss, him tweeting out the phone number was pretty well done. I was pretty impressed. I laughed at that. Wes in Clarksville says, "Seeing Bama lose is like seeing the Patriots' Brady dynasty end."
Which, thanks to the Tennessee Titans,
that
dynasty ended on a cold January, or is it December? No, it was January.
Yeah. Kevin from Hendersonville, "I would also put the current state of Georgia fans in this category if it's Alabama fans that we're talking about."
I don't know. Like the guy said earlier, we all know that one Alabama fan that drives us crazy. I don't know that many Georgia fans. I mean, I they're out there. I understand that. And, you know, you won in 21 and 22, but I don't know overall a lot of those fans.
Robbie Stanley says, "I hope they lose every game from now to eternity." I'm sure you do.
Right.
Dr. Crane has done his research and said it was from Avengers Age of Ultron. Scarlett Johansson said it. I think there may be another movie, too.
Yeah, because I've never seen any of those nerd movies y'all watch. Not one. I ain't wasting the time. Like, I worked with a guy who came in to work one. True story. I guess Iron Man died in one of these.
Yeah, he did.
He came in and this guy, grown man, cried in the sports office at Channel 4 that Iron Man died. And I was
Why would you put Justin Beasley on blast like that? Did he have a shirt on when he did it?
No. And I was like, all right. He's like, "I can't believe they killed off Iron Man." I'm like, "I'm sorry, man. At least Tony Stark lived a good life, right? Or whatever it is." Nothing lasts forever. God, what is that?
There's another one. There's definitely another one. 615-737-1025. DJ has a comment on the Blue Raiders. DJ, what's up?
Guys, good afternoon. I've been a Blue Raiders supporter for 35 years, and that was the worst loss since I've been watching. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, we've had in our four major programs, we've had one coach leave for a better opportunity, and that was Kermit Davis. We've got a president that's been there 30-plus years, athletic director that's been there 25-plus years or longer. No one leaves. No one gets fired. It's like we're just there to get a paycheck, and I just feel like until things change, nothing's going to change. Like to hear your thoughts on that. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, DJ. I understand that frustration. I think some things have changed. I mean, Derek Mason's in his second year. You change football coaches. Rick Stockstill was here for how long?
From 06, 18 years.
18 years. So you made that change, and that was a pretty significant change. We're sitting in a facility that, to be honest with you, when I was a student here, never thought I'd see.
Never.
And so, I, you know, change doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes money. It takes support. And so I think that's a part of it. Now, you have every right to be frustrated.
Derek Mason is.
We had Derek Mason on an hour ago. He was frustrated about that. So I think what has to happen now is you have to have that opportunity to respond, and you have to regroup. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, pull it all together and you'll go beat Wisconsin. But I think you'd like to see a different mentality and a different team show up against Wisconsin, and I think you will see that.
I don't think – nobody's happy. He's not happy. Mason's
losing
not happy.
Sucks.
It does. Nobody's happy down here.
Mike Vrabel said that very passionately one time in a press conference, and it was spot on.
Yeah.
Losing sucks.
I mean, they got their butt kicked by Austin Peay. I mean, we all saw it. Hell, I saw every play in that game Saturday night. And Coach Mason, it's frustrating. It's embarrassing. Everything goes on. Nobody's hiding from that. Nobody's making excuses at all. They got their butt kicked. That's it, bottom line. Now, as I said, look, now we got 11 more opportunities to show that we can play football. We got there and get something done. That's what they'll do. But I understand the frustration 100%. I understand it because there's a lot of things preseason hype that felt good, and you didn't get it done on Saturday night. Now you go out and you get it done. What did he say? I can't get the Austin Peay game back. That's what Mason said.
Yep.
That's over and done with. You move on and try to figure it out from that moment on.
615-737-1025. You have something fun.
Yes,
like
I do.
Fun. We do fun things on this show, so let's do something fun coming up next.
We have – if I find it here, don't go anywhere. Hold on. That's a tease. Let me tease it for you. Hold on now. Let me find it. You wrote it down. Where is it? Hold on. There it is. Oh, okay. It is – I love this. It is the all-time NFL Week 1 winning percentage. What all 32 NFL franchises, how they fared in week one. It's good and it's bad if you're a Titans fan, and I'll explain.
On September 18th, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics Rock the Cradle in Nashville. It's a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University having a great time.
It's funny. Sorry. This whole movie quote thing now is taking us down a different way of who said movie quotes and all those stuff that goes with it. It's funny how we just go down a road, man. Like, take it right, Chase.
People are sending this quote. Greg Pogue sent one from Marilyn Monroe. Nothing lasts forever, so live it up, drink it down, laugh it off, avoid the drama, take chances, and never have regrets, because at the point, everything you did was exactly what you wanted. And I
very appropriate.
Think I needed that one more than I realized but it's very true.
What do you think is the top movie quote line of all time? Voted on by critics, audiences, studios, actors, the number one movie quote of all time.
Okay. Here's looking at you, kid.
That's a good one, Chaser. That is number five.
That's Casablanca.
Humphrey Bogart, Casablanca. Dr. Crane, you want to throw a guess?
I mean, the Dumb and Dumber quote comes to mind, so you're telling me there's a chance.
That did not make it. It should be top five, but it's not. I will tell you that number two is a quote from your favorite Italian movie.
Really? The Godfather?
Uh-huh. And what does Marlon Brando say?
I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
My man, that's number two. So what is the number one movie quote of all time, according to...
I feel like it would have been Casablanca.
This one, when I say it, you'll be like, oh, okay. But you were good. You hit number five.
All right, let me think. Hang on. All right, number one of all time.
Is it also from The Godfather? Leave the gun, take the cannolis?
It is not. It is not, but nice. Because we're thinking of the line.
Adam in Portland may have it. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Nope.
Really?
And that is not even in the top 10. That's a good one. Probably
That's
should be
a great
a top
one.
Three.
No, I think it should be.
Oh, this is good. These are some lines you forgot about.
All right, now they're all coming in. Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
That's a great one.
Go ahead, make my day.
That is number six.
Randy said that. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. That's a good one. I'll be back.
That is not in the top. I'm going to go give you the top 15.
Hang on. I'll have what she's having.
That is not.
Hang on. Let me read some of these. Okay. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Not in the top 15.
I mean, these are say hello to my little friend.
Say hello to my little friend. Hold on. Let's see here. That is not in there.
Need a bigger boat. We're going to need a bigger boat.
God, these are all good. Keep them coming. Hold on. Need a bigger boat is not in the top 15. We still need number
one. A ton of people are saying I'll be back. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the number one movie.
That was the one I was trying to think. Sylvia in Clarksville. There you go.
Good job, Sylvia. Clark Gable, 1939. What's the character's name?
Clark Gable, Gone with the Wind. Oh, what is his name? Because it was such a big deal that he said damn.
It's name of Robbie Stanley's brother.
Name of Ryan?
The other one.
I'm blanking. Sorry, Rob.
Rhett Butler.
Rhett Butler, yeah. Rhett, that's right.
But these are
these are great. Okay. I'll be back. Gino, I'll censor this one. Yippee-ki-yay, mother flower.
did not make the top 15.
DK and Mount Juliet. Well, we're waiting.
Nope, did not make it. It's a good one.
Killing Me Smalls.
No, not in there.
Really?
Skyler
says, I wake up in the morning and piss excellence.
In the top 16, there are no comedies. So these are all like serious movie quotes.
May the Force be with you.
Number eight.
Okay.
From Han Solo in 1960. Oh, I didn't know he said that. All right. I thought others said that, but they credit it to Han Solo.
Yeah. Jeff. They've won the biggest championship, the championship of life.
That's retired from the rafters.
Give me the top 15.
All right, number 15, E.T. Phone Home.
Okay.
Number 14 for the Maltese Falcon is The Stuff That Dreams Are Made Of from Sam Spade. Number 13 for the movie Love Story. I'm going to throw it out there and see if you get Love Story. What's a quote? From Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill.
I don't think I've ever seen Love Story.
Well, you didn't miss anything. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Oh, that is a good one.
Number 12 all-time quote is from Apocalypse Now, Robert Duvall. I say it all the time.
From Apocalypse? I just watched that not long ago.
I love the smell of napalm
in the morning. Yet.
Number 11 from Cool Hand Luke. Strother Martin said this line.
Just say it.
What we have here is a failure
to communicate.
Yep. All right, now we get to the top 10. Top 10 was a movie with Jodie Foster in it and Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster.
The movie's called Taxi Driver.
Oh, you talking to me?
Attaboy, Chaser.
I know you're not talking to me.
All right, number 9, I've never heard this one. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night from All About Eve and Betty Davis.
I have heard that.
Number 7. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up. That is Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard. Number 6, Go Ahead and Make My Day from Sudden Impact. Number 5, Here's Looking at You, Kid, Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca. Number 4. From The Wizard of Oz. What do you think it is?
There's No Place Like Home?
Close.
If I Only Had a Brain. We're Not in Kansas Anymore.
Attaboy, Chaser. That's number 4. Number 3, which is a great line from Marlon Brando and On the Waterfront. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. It's great, great. It's a sad movie, but it's really good. Number two, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Number one, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That is very good. So I'm going to tell you one of my famous stories that I've never told you before. And your wife haven't told this before. So when my dad was probably younger than me, he lived out in California for a couple of years. And I don't remember how, but he got to be friends with Marlon Brando's son.
Okay, Christian?
Yeah. And would, you know, they'd hang out and everything. And he got to meet Marlon on a few occasions. And he learned that Marlon, you would see him in a lot of scenes where he'd have a jacket on and he would kind of hold the jacket open. Right. He would have his script where if he'd forget a line, he could look.
Right.
And remind him of a line.
Whatever it takes, man. I'm surprised that Bond, James Bond, is at 22.
I'm surprised that the Few Good Men is not on there.
That is comes in at number 29.
Okay, 29?
Yeah.
So what now? Okay, now I want to know what's above it.
Number 28, Played Again, Sam from Casablanca.
Yeah.
Number 27, which he ad-libbed, Dustin Hoffman. I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
Yep.
Number 26, Why Don't You Come Up and See Me Sometime? That's from Mae West. Number 25 from
Casablanca probably has a few.
Oh, it's got like four or five. Rod Tidwell comes in at number 25.
Show me the money.
That's right. Oh, 21, A Census Taker. And this leads into national. What day is it? Because I looked earlier. A Census Taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Is that from Silence of the Lambs?
Yes, sir, it is. I'm trying to find the first comedy in all of this.
The Casablanca one that I'm thinking of is like, We'll Always Have Paris or We'll Always Have...
Play It Again, Sam. Lewis, I think this is the beginning of A Beautiful Friendship.
Yep.
See, that's all I can see right now.
He said, it's at the very end. He said, well, we'll always have, and I can't remember. I think it's Paris, but.
I'll Have What She's Having is at number 33.
That's a good one.
You're going to Need a Bigger Boat, 35. Comes in, I'll Be Back, 37.
Do You Feel Lucky, Punk?
Yeah, I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I See Dead People at 44.
That's a good one.
Where's one more? Oh, My Mama Said Life's Like a Box of Chocolates is at 40.
Never know what you're going to get.
Number 39, a movie that gets me every time. If you build it, he will come.
Yep.
What I said to Panda Express and Donaldson. If you build that, I will come see you.
We'll continue. This is great. We've gone down a Chasing Big Joe rabbit hole.
This is so good.
I mean, the text line is blowing up. I don't even remember what. You were going to say, list you're going
right.
to give. But we'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe here at MTSU. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive. Membership with a buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game at MTSU. Another one of our great partners, the Commodores, will travel to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech this Saturday. Pre-game at 5, kickoff at 6:30. Vandy is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. So the Commodores looking to go 2-0 to start the season on Saturday. On my Twitter feed, you'll love this. Look what just popped up. The return of the wing tee. I guess that's with the Chiefs and Marv Levy.
Oh, wow. That's right. He coached there in the mid-'80s. That's right. He did do that.
Yep.
Continuing the list, and we won't spend all day on this, but it's fun. The people ask me, where's the Caddyshack quote? It's at 92. The Cinderella story out of nowhere, former groundskeeper. former greenskeeper. My bad. About to become master. That's at 92.
That's a good one.
Carl Spackler. So not many comedy lines have made.
Yeah, because I wonder what the criteria is, like how quotable it is. I mean,
like I thought, like Here's Johnny,
yeah,
from The Shining would be like a top 10. That comes in at 68.
Steve wants to answer our question of the day for calling a game. Steve, what's up?
Hey guys, love your show. I had to jump off of it for the last hour, but Do you remember in Outlaw Josey Wales? I always loved the line, too, where the bounty hunter is hunting him down, and Josey sees him and goes, "You be a bounty hunter?" And the bounty hunter says, "Man's got to do something for a living."
Yes.
And
yeah.
Josey Wales says, "Well, dying ain't much of a living, boy."
That is a good one.
I love to hear Joe Fisher, man. I miss him. I thought he was great at calling ball games, basketball, all of it. I really, really love to hear him call games.
That's a good one.
Well,
Joe,
he's still doing. He does MTSU women's basketball and does a great job.
I didn't know that. Okay, yep. Good. That's good to hear.
Yep.
All right, guys, keep it up. Y'all are great.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the support. 9055 says, "Where is all right, all right, all right?" The days are confused. And what about, do we give up when the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, that's actually made the list. Hold on. Number
Germans?
82. And it's the toga speech. In 82, he comes in. So, yeah, John Bluto Blutarski.
Forget it. He's rolling.
Comes in right there. And, you know, like, Yo Adrian comes in at 80. I mean, think about these lines. I mean, I love to write, but you think about when you write something like that, I mean, is it going to have the pop culture impact that you think it hope it does
right.
and maybe has? You just never know, man.
Well, and it's also about who delivers it.
Oh,
like 9055 also says, just a bit outside. I mean, Harry Doyle, you say, like, everybody knows the whole thing. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
How about this one? There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, Hanks delivers that perfectly.
To Gina Davis?
No, it was the blonde.
Gina Davis is in the movie.
Yeah, it's in there. It's the blonde, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bob Uecker had so many quotable lines in Major League.
Yep.
One hit. We've got one GD hit. You can't say that. Ah, no one's listening.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so there's not many sports on there. It's a lot of the really serious ones. And I'm trying to find the most current one that shows up on the list of top 100 quotes. And the one is I'm King of the World comes in at 100. That's in 97. 2002.
What is that? What's that from?
Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Your movie you like, My Precious. That's in 2002. So there's not many that crack the 2000 timeline on this top list of quotes of all time. And there's a lot. There's some quotes I've movies I never heard of that'll make this. Number 49, Frankenstein. It's alive.
It's alive. Wes and Herman, it says, am not a famous person, but I would love to hear broadcast a Titans game as somebody very deserving of the opportunity, myself. Wes, I hope that happens for you one day.
Wes, I told you, you have to. There are high schools that would love to have you come out and call a high school game. They would love to have you. Go out and go get with a high school and say, can I call your game this week? Get to know the kids. Mike Keith and I had this conversation years ago. Always be grounded somehow, some way to high school football. If you're an announcer, you love sports, you cover it, find out some way to be grounded to high school football. You call the Chase calls the games on Friday night. I go do Fox 17 high school football because it's important. It's pure. It's genuine. Find a way to be grounded to high school football.
It's my escape.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. It's awesome. Tommy says, what about keep the change, you filthy animal? Happy New Year.
That should be in there as well.
Yeah.
But, Dr. Crane, I'm with you, man. What's the Dumb and Dumber quote that you wanted? Yeah, so you tell me there's
so
a chance?
You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, that one.
It should be on the list there. There should be a pop culture top 100 that gets on there.
I kind of now want to go watch Casablanca.
There are – I saw a few more on there,
too,
as well.
Here's looking at you, kids.
Here's looking at you, kid. Casablanca, Streetcar Named Desire makes a do you know the quote from Mommy Dearest? If you know the quote from Mommy Dearest, text in 615-737-1025. It's a great movie about Joan Crawford. It's a great movie.
Is this one all there? Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
What is that? Is that from
that's Casablanca.
Casablanca. It's not on here. I don't – yeah, it is. We'll Always Have Paris.
Yeah, We'll Always Have Paris, that one. Louis, I think this is the beginning of A Beautiful Friendship.
Yep.
But no, of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Number 32, round up the usual suspects from Casablanca. Number 28, play it again, Sam. Casablanca. You're right, man. 20, Lewis. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, Casablanca. Yeah, all right.
Yep.
Let's call the Belcourt. We're going to have a movie showing of Casablanca.
Let's call the Roxy down in Dixon.
Call the Roxy down in Dixon. That's right. Hello, Belinda. We're going to come down and we're going to watch Casablanca.
Yeah, that would be
awesome. I say that. If you ever saw In Living Color, Jim Carrey does this impression of Ted Turner. So when Ted Turner bought all these movies, he colorized them. Mm-hmm. And people lost their mind. They were crazy. Like, how could you do that? And Jim Carrey did this skit on In Living Color. He imitated Ted Turner and said, I bought Casablanca. And I made it color. Why? Because I own it. It's one of the best impressions and skits of all time, man.
2 o'clock hour coming up next. We'll have Michelle Kennedy from the Nashville Predators. Tickets are going on sale. Single game tickets are going on sale for the Predators. She'll tell us more about that in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get back into the Titans. You have,
I got it,
the all-time week one winning percentage for every NFL team. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.